Kieran O'Brolahan, Eamon Higgins, Shauna Lawson, Simon Gallagher, Jeff Williams, and Alva Lynch. I'll be back on Thursday, headed to Vermont. We'll be in Burlington at the Vermont International Film Festival, then on to Brattleboro and St. Johnsbury and Montpelier. Look forward to seeing folks in Vermont. I'm Amy Goodman in Belfast, Northern Ireland, with Juan Gonzalez.
The promise of America is freedom, equality. But right now, those pillars of our democracy are fragile. Reproductive rights, voting rights, the right to make your own choices and have your voice heard. We must act now to restore and protect these freedoms for us and for the future. We are the American Civil Liberties Union, and we are fighting in every state, every day to defend your rights and the rights of all people.
We have got to be here. We've got to be strong to protect those rights.
For over 100 years, the ACLU has fought for everyone to have a voice and equal justice. And we will never stop. Because we, the people, means all of us. To learn more about defending our democracy, go to myaclu.org today.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM, 107.3, also FM, and over the internet at WUSB.FM. It's 6 o'clock on a Tuesday, time for another edition of Off the Wall. Yes, it's Off the Wall. Yeah, no doubt about it. Here we are, Tuesday evening. Emmanuel over here, Kyle over there. How you doing?
What's up?
You know, what's up right now? There is this massive chaos going on in New York City because the World Cup game just ended between France and Senegal. We're not going to ruin it for you if you haven't seen it, assuming you care. We do. We saw it. It was a great game. Here's the thing. You have 80,000 people leaving the stadium at once, and you have FIFA making all kinds of demands on how you can and cannot do things. Basically, you have a lot of people trying to leave New York City because it's rush hour, and then you have a lot of people who just, you know, are leaving the stadium, and either they're heading immediately to the nightlife in East Rutherford, New Jersey, or they might be heading over to, who knows, New York City. They have to limit access to Penn Station because I guess there'll be chaos if they don't. But there's going to be chaos either way. It's fun. If you're involved in it somehow, outside our signal range, I'm not sure how you would be unless you're listening online. And try to enjoy it. Try to enjoy the chaos. Try not to let it get you down too much. It is history. And there is a lot of history lately. I mean, wow! Just within the last week, the basketball games that happened between the Knicks and the Spurs. Oh my goodness! I mean, I know people who aren't basketball fans at all that were riveted to the TV set. You know, seeing these games, knowing they were going to be amazing games. I don't think anybody knew how amazing they would be, how the Knicks would somehow manage to fall way behind and then just break the hearts of San Antonio Spurs fans everywhere and win both games and eventually the championship. But it brought New York City together in ways I haven't seen in ages. I mean, did you see the streets, Kyle? Did you see how many people were out there?
Absolutely. It was crawling, just teeming with people, celebrating, and all of them recording, photographing, and it was a dynamic evening, I think, and is still probably something we're celebrating.
Well, even all the way out here, people were lighting fireworks and explode. You could hear people, no matter where you were, if you stuck your head out a window, you'd hear people cheering somewhere, and that's 60 miles away, you know. I don't know. People just, for some reason, felt something. This team, they came out of nowhere, and they just gave us magic, you know? And there's something about their personality, which is really kind of enthralling as well. It's kind of like the amazing Mets of 69, which I bet most people, if not all people, don't remember. But they were, you know, a hapless team of misfits. Actually, I'm not sure if that's really accurate, but you know, they won despite the odds. And, you know, every time the Mets do something good, people feel that way. So, I guess, you know, the Knicks have been bad for so long that when they finally got good, boy, people were happy. It's over 50 years.
Yeah, I think it's leaving a lot of fans and a lot of people that endured that 50 years and or however much in intervening time where there wasn't a win that what, you know, you're asking yourselves, what's next? You know, what is life when you've won? And I think that's a really hopeful thing because I think it makes people love the game. They love the possibility for the future and the determination, the drive to be at that level from people that are coming up in the city. So I don't know. That's kind of great how like the future is this huge unwritten story and it doesn't have that baggage. It's like a letting go of a lot of stuff too. And I think that might be on people's minds as well.
I mean, I admit I gave up. Both games, actually. You know, I don't want to see them losing. And I feel, and people have told me this, that I'm bad luck. I don't want to jinx them. So, you know, I'll go watch, you know, Game of Thrones for an hour or whatever, you know, and then come back when it's, you know, late in the third quarter. And that's usually when they're starting to wake up. I liked how, what's his name, Brunson? I don't even know the players. He basically, I think it was him.
Jalen Brunson. Well,
it might have been OG. I like OG.
Yes.
Well, by the way, the shot by OG that everybody, you know, he's giving him the key to the city for, mm-hmm. he saved the game, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But basically, All he did was tip the ball and it was went a tip. Into the bat. Yeah. I could do that.
Tip up.
I was in that position at that time, I could have tipped the ball.
All right.
I couldn't do the shot, that three-pointer. I know that, but I could. Who can't tip a damn ball?
No.
Give him the key to the city. He tipped the ball. He tipped the right ball at the right time, and that's what it's all about. So, yeah.
Easy now. Yeah, indeed. No, and long overdue.
And he can do more than that, too. I am aware of that. I am very aware of that.
I think we're all just in awe. As much as we think we could do it or not, just the heroism of how that played out and the drive and just being there in those key moments. So, wow.
Yeah.
It's one for the books, right?
It's a couple for the books. It really is. It's so amazing. And it's brought out a lot about the city, about people in general. Okay, it needs to be said. Sports fans can be stupid. They can do destructive things. They can, not everybody is on the same page. This brought everybody together. So it wasn't just about, the usual sports fans out there.
We can agree it was a good thing.
It was a damn good thing. Absolutely. Having everybody in the streets, that was amazing too. But, there are always those who take it too far. And this is true of any gathering. We've been saying this for years, whether it's Black Lives Matter or, pro-Trump, anti-Trump. There are always people that will take things too far, that don't care about other people. And that's certainly true when it comes to sports. Whether you win or lose, people are going to be rioting in one way or another. And that's what happened. So I just want to put that in perspective. Whenever there is some kind of a march or a huge gathering of people and something happens, somebody breaks a window, you can't label everybody by the actions of the idiots who do destructive things. I mean, can we just agree on that? Because, I'm sick of the radical left being labeled as some kind of violent group that's, if you know people on the left, I think most of them, they don't know how to be violent. And maybe that's a problem. I don't know. The point is, we're quick to generalize. And I say there are stupid sports fans because I say there are stupid everybody fans, no matter what it is you're marching for, there are always going to be people that don't get it, that send the wrong message, that cannot communicate properly with people that they're trying to, get on their side.
Some are even agitators.
Absolutely, yeah. Sometimes it's intentional. Sometimes people do that to screw them up. This brought out the worst in a bunch of powerful people as well. I'm thinking specifically the guy I still don't know. He owns the Knicks. He owns MSG. He owns New York City. James Dolan.
Yes.
Does he own us? Are we owned by him?
He is. Yes. He's a wealthy owner, I believe, of the facility and the team. Or I don't know.
Oh, wait, not us.
Seawolves. No, I think that's wholly owned by the State University.
That's right. That's right.
And proudly so.
It's owned by the people.
Proudly so. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. If you're a sea wolf, you're not a part of that.
So this guy, I was trying to figure it out. Last Wednesday, we had another show, and I was trying to figure out, get into his head, because he canceled the watch party. The game four was on Wednesday. And he was upset that Mayor Mondani didn't allow him. I don't know what he was asking for. He wanted to take over all the streets. And he accused, this is the weirdest part, he accused Mondani of running a police state and saying that he had no experience, which is what all the Mondani haters like to say, that he has no experience. He's doing pretty damn good for somebody with no experience as far as getting the city together and having an overall positive attitude. He got people into the World Cup for a fairly, good price, $50 for a ticket. Yeah, we tried to get into that lottery, but it didn't work.
Yeah, but I mean, if that's true, then, maybe he's smart enough to, or self-aware enough to realize that and has people that are competent in ways he isn't. That's the mark of good leadership, to admit where your shortcomings could be augmented by someone else's expertise.
Exactly, yes. And that's what you have to do. Sometimes you have people working with you who were opposed to you. I'm thinking Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, you know, a Secretary of State, he appointed her. You know, this is what a mature leader can do, not have vindictive revenge constantly. What Dolan did was he applied to have a watch party. And we've walked by this watch party before the Knicks were in the finals. We, you know, walked by on, 33rd Street. There were all these people cheering. It wasn't 10,000 people. I don't know who thinks that was 10,000 people. That was at most 1,000 people. And that was what they were trying to get another permit for. And it was granted, and it was exactly what Dolan asked for, between 500 and 999 people. I'm not sure why that specific number. It was granted. He never asked for anything above that. But because he didn't get something above that he didn't ask for, he threw a hissy fit and canceled the whole thing and said it was Mandani's fault, something that I don't think anybody believed except for the Mandani haters. There were basically... viewing parties all over the city, just not there because he didn't get what he wanted, but he didn't tell anybody what he wanted, which is, I guess, what toddlers do. Billionaire toddlers, that is. Saturday when they won the championship in San Antonio, that watch party was back. There were basically gatherings all over the city and they came together. And of course, you know, for the most part, it was peaceful, but then there were some problems. Now, I was watching, you know, I like to see what people accuse Mandani of. First of all, they accused him of not being a true Knicks fan, whatever that is. I don't know how you even, the guy seems to be more of a Knicks fan than almost anybody. He was encouraging rioting now, which is weird because Dolan is accusing him of running a police state and other people are accusing him, and he's probably one of them, of participating in the rioting. They're saying the mayor of New York City was participating in rioting, encouraging rioting, and also not letting people gather in the streets. Pick a lane, for God's sake. You can't criticize him on all fronts. You got to pick one and just double down on that. I mean, come on. That's... There was a lot of that going on. He even got more hatred from letting people into the World Cup. 1,000 people were able to attend for $50. They focused on a picture of him and Governor Hochul at the game, and basically saying, "Well, this doesn't seem very socialist to have this luxury box at the biggest event of the year." Until other people pointed out that he was with the people that he got into the game for $50, and he was there amongst those people. And, of course, that led to, well, then that means somebody else couldn't get in because he was... It's just, they will never stop. So it's useless to try and point to evidence that they are wrong. They will never hear it. They will just keep changing the story, moving the goalpost, whatever you want to call it. Tomorrow's going to be interesting. Not tomorrow. Thursday is the parade. And doesn't Mandani have to give Dolan like a plaque or something for winning? Yeah.
I'm not sure. I guess there's a ceremony and some sort of exchange of goodwill and the key or whatever else they're going to do. But I think mainly it's just about the team, the camaraderie, the win itself, and inspiring athleticism and competition and parks, even,
right?
You know, places to inspire excellence and maybe bring this home again, you know, another win. Wouldn't that be interesting if the Knicks were renowned for this?
I think it would be interesting if the Nets started to win.
Yeah, you could have more than one winning team.
You know, the Nets were in the final. I think the last time they were in the final, do you know who they played and lost to?
I do not.
The San Antonio Spurs.
Oh,
the
goodness.
Same team the Knicks lost to last time they were in the championship. So these Spurs, wow. And, you know, both the Nets and the Spurs used to be in the old American Basketball Association. And that's when the New York Nets played at Nassau Coliseum. And the San Antonio Spurs, they started as a team in Dallas. Just a little trivia there. Yeah, I know my sports, some of it, the kind nobody cares about.
More than I realized when I first met you, but yeah.
Well, yeah, it's mostly, I'm into systems and just weird ways that things work in leagues and teams that move and change their names. And
yeah, how they're organized, yeah. How it's, you know, understood.
I don't know what you call that, but it's just I'm fascinated by
it. It's sort of a window into fandom and, mm-hmm. and that thing.
Yeah.
You know.
And people really, they know so much. I mean, when you consider all the players at the World Cup right now, all the countries, and people know the players. Little kids know the players from different countries, and there's 48 countries total there. You know, each one having 11 starters on the field. That's an awful lot of people.
Absolutely, yeah. The programs behind these teams, the staff and trainers, and it's really kind of showing that it's a growing and just global phenomena, really.
Yeah.
And it's, what is it? You've already said. I mean, a dozen more teams or something than the last. So it's incredible, and. I think interesting there, the way they're doing it, across the North American, countries.
Three different countries. excuse me, Mexico, Canada, and the United States.
Brilliant.
Different stadiums.
I'm not a
fan of four games a day. That's a lot. But,
yeah, they're being criticized a little bit, I think, for the amount of travel. I think that people have to endure to go to different games, but. It is a lot to keep up with too. I do like some of the programming though, and the coverage is pretty good. Commentating, mm-hmm. excellent.
If you're totally unfamiliar with this, give it a shot. Just you know, tune into one game. And Fox is doing, I will say this, they're doing a really good job.
Oh, Fox Sports.
Fox Sports. Yeah, you know, okay, Fox Broadcasting is different than Fox News. You know, Fox News, okay.
I'm not trying to be clever or smart about it. It's for real, a division of that network.
It's like when, you know, a really popular and attractive person has a tumor or something. Well, that tumor is Fox News, and they've been trying to get it removed for a long time, and it keeps coming back. And I don't know. That's the best analogy I can draw right now. It's an
involuntary situation.
I mean, Fox Business is almost as bad as Fox News. If you ever watch that channel.
You know? That's like a soap opera about investing or something.
But they're always complaining about the left and saying the same nonsense that Fox News says. It's like they have two different channels.
They draw a lot of conclusions
mm-hmm.
that are conclusions.
And CNBC does not do that.
No, CNBC's got some integrity, I think.
CNBC World is an even better channel, but nobody gets that in this country. But if you get a chance to, that's okay. We're talking about all different TV
There are
networks.
So many different aspects of some of these
there's
broadcasts.
There's a Fox Weather channel now, too. I don't know why they feel the need to compete with the Weather Channel. But
there's a lot going on in, private weather.
Did you hear MAGA got pissed off at the Weather Channel because of the headline they gave about the weather during their UFC event?
Oh, man. Are we going to talk about
fighting
this?
Fighting the Weather Channel.
Yeah.
Well, because they fight science, so I guess it sort of makes sense.
It shouldn't be unexpected.
Come on, guys. Look, they're trying to tell you might get hit by lightning. That's something to be concerned about. I actually saw the I think it was the head of the UFC. I can't keep track of them. But basically, they were saying, we're not afraid of lightning. Okay. Well, fine. Go ahead and run around on the field during a lightning storm.
Lightning,
don't bring anybody else with you.
Lightning is not afraid of you.
Yeah, it is not. It really isn't. There's a lot of YouTube videos of people getting struck by lightning, which I think maybe they should have to watch.
Well, yeah. I don't know if survival instinct is a part of their interest group.
Well, no, certainly.
They don't have affinity for it, I guess.
Yeah.
Or perhaps ironically.
This is where Darwinism is proven. Anyway, we could spend a whole lot of time on this. I was trying to give Fox Sports a compliment by saying they're doing a really good job. And they are. There's, you know, great commentators. The American ones I'm not too thrilled with. But for some reason, soccer games are usually announced by people with British accents. I love that. I really do. I love the fact that it's 45 to 50 minutes straight of uninterrupted football, except now that FIFA has mandated that there be a water break in the middle of each half, resulting in 3 more minutes of commercials in the middle of the half, even when a water break isn't necessary. If they're playing in a cool place, they still do that. And I really think that's an excuse just to have more commercial time sold. Because FIFA is so damn corrupt, but you know, we already talked about that. We don't have to get into it again. For the most part, the coverage is really, really good. And if you have a chance, just, you know, watch one game. It doesn't matter who's playing. You'll see the enthusiasm of fans. For instance, the Algerian team, I believe they're in Kansas, and there are all these Kansas Algerian people that follow them and are going mad that Algeria's team is near them. Every team has a story like that. And that's kind of what makes America, America. And the same thing in Canada and Mexico. There are people that are somehow tied to the team. They know everything about it. They're big fans. And it's just, it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. So if you have the chance, of course you have the chance, just turn on a TV, you know, just try to take it in. Try to, you know, you have to understand the rules of the game, although they're pretty simple. You don't have to know the players. You don't have to know the stats. Just try and feel the enthusiasm. We did that on Friday, right here at Stony Brook. There was this viewing party at the stadium, and I got to say, it was pretty awesome. It was the United States playing Paraguay. You've probably heard that the United States won 4-1, and the most goals they ever scored in a World Cup game, which was pretty awesome. But getting into that particular venue, it was a really special event. There were just all these people from the area, and there were buses that, I guess, brought people from other parts. And it was just so informal, so relaxing. Okay, yeah, they were selling $12 beers, $12 cans of beer, which getting into the FIFA spirit, I suppose. But, you know, if it helped to finance that, to make that possible, I guess it's worth it. A lot of kids running around on the field just playing whatever game they invent at the moment with complete strangers. Everyone just having a great time. Really, really laid back. And I didn't see a single kid crying. People in the stands, people just walking around, having conversations, and, you know, big screens with the game going on. They had 2 games. They had one in the afternoon, Canada versus Bosnia-Herzegovina, and the one in the evening with United States versus Paraguay. So that was the one magical way of being able to see the game without having to spend the outrageous amounts of money that FIFA wants you to spend to get a ticket. What do you think, Kyle?
Well, yeah, I think admission was free. So, I mean, concessions being marked up a little bit, it didn't seem like that bad a deal. And what was there was so pleasant, just to see the stadium full of people and on the field. You realize, okay, there's a lot of people sitting in the stands and stuff, but the field is packed. I mean, at least half of it was with standing room and people just kind of picnicking on the on the turf. But and they had a small stage and some performances, I gather, and the like. But and then the back was really turning into, well, used as a playfield, co-opted, shall we say, by a lot of the youth and various student athletes and people there just having fun that didn't want to sit still.
Yeah, and you know, did you see a single crying kid?
No, I just loved the self-organized aspect. Everyone just coalesced around whatever they wanted to do, and people were walking around. You could just go on a little tour, go get something, and I don't know. I was really impressed because it's like that mini community that just appears if they set those conditions, and I guess that's what it's all about, you know, watching. And especially when there was a score, there was just so much excitement and cheering. I You don't get that at home.
No.
You only hear that maybe over your speakers.
The impromptu game stopped and everybody just ran around in the field like crazy for about 5 minutes and then the game resumed.
It was, people were going berserk. Uh-huh. But yeah, we enjoyed that and then ducked out to get on with our own evenings.
Yeah, you know, that's the magic of soccer, football, is that it's kind of like an equalizer. It brings people together no matter, what their income is, because you don't need a lot of equipment to play with a soccer ball. You need a soccer ball. That's it. Everybody gets that. So it unites people all around the world. You don't have to speak each other's languages. It's something that's really, really easy to get into. And since this is happening here, and since the competition only happens every 4 years, it's such a great time just to be a part of it. Another thing Fox is doing that I'm really happy about is they have James Corden doing a midnight show most nights, not tonight, but most
nights. I saw
that.
Yeah.
And he, that guy, I watched a couple of his old shows on CBS. He is really multi-talented. He knows a lot about the sport as well. And is just so enthusiastic and funny and is able to bring people together who are, part of professional leagues and have been following this for all their lives. It's worth watching as well, and it's something that I wouldn't have expected them to try to do is have basically a late night talk show. Didn't CBS say that that's not profitable? We can't do that anymore. Well, look at this. They're doing exactly that on Fox and it's working great. It's really amazing. This guy has his parents there every day and they're serving drinks to people. It's so funny. It's really incredible.
The set's really funny. It's like a futuristic basement with a bar in it or something. So you feel like you're in, I don't know. It's like a cross between Cheers and Wayne's World.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, but the guests are great and it's just fun loving and, over a drink, that's a great, and
it's live too.
Spirit. Yeah. And that's, the timeliness, they're able to like connect different stories and talk about the day and everyone's, really tuned in anyway. So it's been, cool to have that around.
If we did a TV show instead of a radio show, it would be a lot like that because, he cuts to people live in a car that are on their way to the studio because they're late because of the crowds of the game. And it's just, this kind of childish excitement.
Yeah, it really works.
Yeah, it really does. And it's, it's a temporary thing. It's only during the World Cup. It's not every day as well, but it's most nights at midnight. So yeah, some really unique and different things that we've been noticing.
Yeah, that's definitely been a hit.
If you can't get into the World Cup, and of course we can't either, it's nothing to be upset about. Yeah, it sucks that FIFA is overcharging so much and that only with few exceptions, super rich people are able to get in. But going to events like this, that Stony Brook had, I don't know if they're having more, or going to local establishments, places, for instance, when Argentina plays, I think they're playing today. They're playing Algeria, I believe. Why not go to an Argentinian restaurant? They'll be showing the game there. A bunch of Argentinian people will be there.
Guaranteed.
Yeah, it'll be amazing. Become an Argentinian fan for a night. It'll be the time of your life.
With a little bit of planning, you could have a magical evening.
Yeah.
And we went get to know some of your neighbors.
We went to a Spanish place once. I think it was World Cup or Euro. It was one of those.
Yes.
We went to a Serbian place.
Yes.
I believe we went to a German place. There's so many. That's what makes America amazing. All these different
groups. I want to say Venezuelan too, but I don't know.
Did we?
Maybe it was another South American country.
I don't know. You could even go to a Persian place and have an interesting discussion about Iran.
Yeah.
A lot of people are doing. So it's it's a mix of international intrigue and sports. And being social. So be careful, though, if you are planning on trying to get World Cup tickets, because, boy, there's a lot of scams. New York State officials warn that worldwide events of this magnitude could attract consumers who are eager to attend and may pay higher prices to do so, with scammers keen to steal personal information and money on the other side of transactions. It's true. You're basically taking a huge chance if you try and get something that is not guaranteed. And there's really no way to know. Now, for many fans, the World Cup is a once-in-a-lifetime event. And that's the mindset that is preyed upon when fans spend tons of money and travel long distances only to be told their ticket is invalid. It's a big burden. Yeah, it really is. The only relief you can hope to get is your money back. But in reality, a lot of these scam artists are here today and gone tomorrow. One way to avoid risk is to purchase tickets directly through the FIFA World Cup organization's official website. But you know what? This story that I'm reading from Newsday, it's wrong, because people did exactly that, only to have their tickets canceled by FIFA, saying they suspected fraud in the transaction, when it wasn't fraud at all. It was the person using their own damn credit card, but their tickets were just taken away from them. After they had made travel plans, after they had made hotel reservations, FIFA just basically gave them the middle finger and said, yeah, we already sold your ticket to somebody else at 10 times what you paid for it, so tough luck. So, yeah, don't trust FIFA either. honestly, it's too stressful between what you have to go through to get to the place and the extremely high prices of just about everything you wind up doing there, or going to a relaxing social gathering like a viewing party or, a restaurant or a bar. The latter is just so much more pleasant. And it's a great way to experience it for the people that truly care about the sport. Okay. What else do we have going on? Did you see this? This is a funny story. There's also a Newsday. Hempstead supervisor John Ferretti's campaign takes down altered photos showing rival John Schiavello with New York City Mayor Zoran Mondani. It's basically just a picture of the two of them standing next to each other, holding their hand over their heart as if they're sharing a moment, when in actuality they've never met. But that picture alone, just of the two of them standing next to each other, was enough to enrage Joe Schiavello to demand that it be taken down. I mean, it's not a nice thing to fake pictures and make people friends who aren't friends, who have never met. But it just makes you realize how simplistic the Mondani haters are. You know, the Trump people are always able to accuse critics of having this thing called Trump derangement syndrome. You know, people on the left need to get better at being able to call people things who exhibit this just blind hatred. Why not something like woke derangement syndrome? You know, people who are so averse to anything that they consider to be woke, when the concept of being woke is actually somewhat admirable. It's basically, you know, equal access to people, fairness, justice. You know, some people take it too far and it gets kind of ridiculous. Yes. And believe it or not, woke people are the ones who make fun of that the most. But we never have a clever name. And basically, the Republicans are always throwing just these little catchphrases, you know, like Russia, Russia, Russia. Remember that one? Trump derangement syndrome, or let's go, Brandon. They just are able to sell their particular twisted viewpoint. And that brings more people on board somehow, because it's catchy, you know?
It's like branding hate.
Yeah, branding hate. Well, why don't we brand something else and just brand it back? And the Trump derangement syndrome, I throw back at them, because I think the people who follow Trump no matter what, isn't that derangement syndrome right there?
Yeah, I just think I hear it all as projection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty much what they're doing anyway, like what they're accusing others of.
Anyway, on Monday, Scambla's campaign demanded that the photograph of him with Mondani be removed, alleging that it violated a 2024 state law that generally requires that materially deceptive media used in a political campaign be labeled as such. In the case of visual media, the law requires a legible disclaimer that says this image, video, or audio has been manipulated. As a remedy, candidates whose likenesses were used in violation of the law may seek an injunction to prevent further distribution of the image and seek legal fees. Okay, but and that's totally fair, and they're right to do this, but think about it. It's just a picture of him standing next to somebody, and that's enough to set them off. That's how deep the hatred runs for a guy. And what is it that people hate him for being, what, fairly new to the political scene, for being young, for being Muslim? I mean, you know, what exactly is it that you want him to change about himself other than to just, you know, not exist? So, yeah, it's just another example of how silly things can get.
Yeah, and they're so critical, and I think he's, you know, because he's new, yeah, like, maybe it's worth letting him give it a try and see what becomes of it, and you know, take things for you know, their, you know, how they appear at for what he's doing, you know, to give it its own opportunity to stand on its, you know, for itself, and try not to like attach all of your personal distaste for someone personally. Like, okay, what are his actions? Do they speak for themselves?
The thing is, you know, basically he hasn't done anything yet that warrants this kind of reaction. And I think they're getting
quite
impatient.
The contrary. They're getting impatient that
he hasn't, and they want him to.
Exactly. And we were observing it. There's a lot more about it that it seems like he's at ease with it and having fun. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not really even paying attention. It's just this thing of like competence, and he seems to communicate effectively and elevate the people that are doing, you know, a lot of the work on the street level and staying focused. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there is a big scandal or something we don't know about brewing, but until that actually, you know, is evident, I think we should give him a little bit of opportunity to govern.
Yes, absolutely. You know, this whole Nick thing, I think, is a good indication of how a mayor is supposed to act, supposed to be a fan, supposed to be opening and welcoming, but at the same time, not tolerate people destroying things. And he's been very clear about that. He's been standing behind the cops that are, trying to keep that from happening as well. He's not getting any recognition for that from the haters. The haters are never going to admit that, yeah, he's getting this right. He's doing the right thing. They're always going to try and make it like, you know, he is responsible for this. I heard somebody saying that, this is Sharia law. It's like, at what point does Sharia law, rioting in the streets, burning buses, I don't think that's anyone's interpretation of it, except people who really don't understand what they're talking about.
Yeah, I don't care what mayor's in office. This, you have to understand, as a huge historical event. And I find it strange that there's heavy critique and scolding going on. But there are places in this country where it's considered, it's almost a joke, you know, how much people react and respond. I'm thinking about Philadelphia. I'm thinking about other places that have huge sports followings and stuff.
Where they wax the light poles.
They do all the same stuff.
Yeah. Except we don't wax the light poles. People can climb up those if they really want to.
It wouldn't have mattered what administration. There would have been at least one bus. Okay, it was three.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But, I mean, there's still, like, there's probably salvageable, like, drivetrain parts. Anyway.
Hey, war is over. To quote John and Yoko, if you really want to believe it, I swear, you know, wars aren't supposed to be funny. But this thing in Iran, oh my God. I almost feel bad for Trump because he clearly is so out of his element. He thought he was going to go in there and be all fierce and get them to abide by whatever terms he set. He didn't think that through either. And in the end, he basically gave Iran more power and dominance in the region than anybody otherwise could have achieved. And over the last few weeks, he's just been basically alternating between saying a peace deal is imminent, it's coming, and if we don't have one, we're going to bomb them into oblivion. Okay, now I'm not going to bomb them because we're about to have a peace deal and repeat and rinse and all that. It just, it's been going on for weeks. So finally, on Sunday, his birthday, by the way, he turned 80. What a birthday that was, too. We'll get into that in a second. He announced that there was a deal and that the Strait of Hormuz would be open immediately. And almost as immediately as that, it was changed to be, well, it's a memorandum of understanding of a deal. It's like, do you remember when he was running? He has the concept of a deal, not a deal himself. And basically, so now nothing has been signed, but it's going to be signed on Friday, maybe. We're not sure. and Iran has basically been saying the opposite of what he's been saying the whole time. They're having fun with this. I really think they're enjoying this because they just have so much more than they had before. Look, I saw this online, I think it's pretty accurate. Basically, it's a comparison between Obama's Iran deal and what happened after Trump basically violated the deal and negated it. Okay, under Obama's Iran deal, there were zero American soldiers killed. There were zero Iranian civilians killed. There were... Do you need to write this down? There were zero U.S. bases destroyed. There were zero U.S. aircraft and ships damaged. The amount of money spent on war was, can't quite read that. $0. Okay, $0 spent on war. We'll get to the uranium enrichment in a second. Under Trump, at least 13 Americans have been killed. At least 1,000 Iranian civilians have been killed. 13 U.S. bases have been targeted. Over 30 U.S. aircraft have been lost or damaged. And to compare to the figure of $0 spent on war, $7.8 trillion have been spent on war. Oh, and uranium enrichment under Obama never exceeded 3.67%. Under Trump, it rose to 60%. MAGA calls Obama's deal a disaster and Trump's ceasefire a victory. We are living Orwell. We really are. This war is peace. And yeah, let's deal with it, I guess. Meanwhile, Iran is saying basically that the tentative deal to end the war with the United States would require Israel to withdraw from Lebanon, a condition Israel has already rejected. What the hell is Israel doing in Lebanon? Not your country. You shouldn't be there. Shouldn't be invading other countries. Have we not progressed beyond this? I see pictures of what they have done to this country. These aren't military targets. These are homes. These are civilians. It's barbaric. It should not be tolerated. They should be banned from everything possible, just like Russia has been. And yet, it's continuing. And they do as they please. And the United States can try and not be linked to this, but I don't think that's possible because we made it happen. We basically gave Netanyahu a blank permission slip to do whatever he wanted. And that's exactly what he's doing. Does not give a hot crap about the rest of the world or Palestinians or Arabs or Muslims, anyone. And the sooner he is gone, the better for everybody, especially Israelis. It's just sad. It's sad that people don't act to achieve justice. Well, it's not always true. In Albania, they're pretty upset. Have you seen this? I cannot believe somehow people get mad at the Trumps. All over the world. And sometimes they get madder at the Trumps than we do here, than we should hear. Basically, Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump were vacationing on a friend's boat years ago. This is quite a story. Yeah, sit down and listen to this. This is pretty amazing. Yeah, they're vacationing on a friend's boat. I've never vacationed on a boat. I've taken a boat. I've never vacationed on a boat. But I guess, you know, when you're Trump, you can do that. They were on the Adriatic Sea, which is off the coast of Albania, and they stopped for a swim, which I guess means they jumped off the boat. And they somehow discovered an island by doing that. Okay, I would have discovered the island while still in the boat, but I don't want to quibble about this. So they swam to the island, and in their words, we went on a hike barefoot all the way up to the top, and we were just captivated, and it stayed with us ever since. So they decided they must have it. And and now they want the island, the entire island. They want to build a resort there. They want to build casinos. Is this some kind of disease that Trumps have where they see something they like and they need to turn it into a casino? Is that really a condition? It might be. It might be something that needs to be looked at. And the average Albanian thinks this is a horrible thing to do to part of their country. And they are turning up in masses in the streets. And it's gotten bigger than that. Now they want the prime minister out because the prime minister is completely captivated by the Trumps and wants to give them whatever they want destroy this pristine island that wasn't bothering anybody and now is the target of yet another Trump. The people have been lit on fire in ways that I was really hoping we would be years ago. And you can't ignore that. You can't ignore when people are that upset at something. And thank God people still know how to get upset at things that are completely wrong. And discovering an island after you go for a swim off your friend's boat and deciding because you walked to the top of a mountain barefoot that you had to have it and turn it into a damn casino, there is just no justification for that. There really is no justification. Although, you know, I saw somebody saying, you know, if this was anybody else other than a Trump, nobody would object. That's one of the things they keep saying. You know, Donald Trump could cure cancer tomorrow and you'd still criticize him. No, we'd criticize him for being an idiot and doing horrible, destructive things. And we have the quotes, we have the receipts, we have all kinds of evidence to show the bad things he has done. UFC on the White House lawn. I'll admit it. I watched it for a little bit. I turned it on only because I couldn't believe that this was actually happening, and I wanted to see just what we had sunk to. When I turned on the TV right away, this is when they were having the feud with the Weather Channel because there was a thunderstorm in the area, and they had to delay things. And I don't know if they were blaming the Weather Channel for the thunderstorm or what exactly, but they actually couldn't start on time. Eventually they did. And, you know, it's I guess what you expect at a UFC event. And I have nothing against UFC events, you know, do whatever. I'm not expecting, you know, much of an intellectual challenge there. But that's fine, you know, be who you want to be. But this was on the lawn of the White House. He got the military to stand at attention for these half-naked guys that were trying to bash the crap out of each other and basically, you know, destroy a little bit more of history and just make a mockery of what the White House is, what Washington, D.C. is, what the United States is. It's really hard to explain this to people, what exactly is going on. But he just keeps doing these childish things, and he's now an octogenarian. He will be the oldest president ever. And, you know, again, that in itself is not a bad thing. It's all of what he does. It's all of his actions. And this is just another one of those actions that shows how little he cares. I mean, he's the president of the United States. He started a war. We are at war. And the economy is in the crapper. And there's all kinds of other things that are labeled as crises. And birthday or not, you know, spending all of this money that I'm pretty sure we're paying for one way or another and causing all this destruction and spreading a lot of hatred. Did you see the guy who was like shouting about Michelle Obama for some reason, about how she's a man? And then Trump is like shaking this guy's hand afterwards. What is going on? Have we all hit our heads really hard? So yeah,
Don't look at
I'm sorry.
Don't look at me.
No.
I mean, I know you weren't, but I don't have answers. I know it's not us, but I was thinking about that while the one guy was like pounding the other guy once he was on the ground.
And let's continue not to know their names because I don't want to know their names. One guy pounding the other guy.
I'm sure everyone knows what I'm talking about, but as he was like bashing his head in, I was thinking about CTE and like...
What is CTE for?
Chronic...
I don't mean... What is it?
Traumatic brain injury.
Concussion, right?
Yeah, it's like the stuff that they really are looking into with regard to like football and a lot of the stuff where you have a lot of contact with your cranium, even heading soccer balls.
Really, which, the ball itself can hurt you?
Well, for a long time, I guess it was understood that it wasn't a big deal. And then they kind of changed some of the thinking about it. I'm not quite sure where it stands now. I think it's, and I think the ball technology has changed. You know, they were very, soggy and cold leather balls when I was a child, but
it's more how you said that than what you said.
But yeah, so you don't want to like have a lot of like, you know, concussions and impacts on that part of your body, and I just wonder, you know, like you said, that you're not expecting a lot of like intellectual revelations from this entertainment experience. And yeah, I just wondered, you know, what is the plan for these athletes? You know, I know wrestlers have, you know, injuries, or boxers too, head injuries and a lot of trouble later in life. And, you know, they're talking about 30 years of UFC. I'm like, okay, so what are the guys that have been fighting for 30 years like? And, you know, even the military is talking about shockwaves from munitions and blasts and things. And I think there's a correlation between the sort of glorification of bashing our skulls in and the place that we're taking political discourse too.
We are out of time. I don't know how that happened. We ran out of time really quickly. We've got to get going until another week. You can write to us, otw@2600.com. I hope people enjoy the World Cup and the parade with the Knicks and whatever else is going on in June. It's Pride Month. Happy Pride to everybody. I found an old song from the World Cup of 2010. I don't know if people remember this. This is from rapper known as Kanan, everybody was playing it back then, and I think it's a song that people should play again now. The lyrics are the original lyrics from the song. They were modified a bit for the World Cup, but this is about refugees more than about winning a football game. Enjoy, and we will see you next week.
Good night.
When I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag. When I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag. And then it goes back, and then it goes back, and then it goes back. Oh. Born to a throne, stronger than Rome, but violent prone. Poor people's zone, but it's my home. All I have known, where I got grown. Streets we would roam, out of the darkness. I came the farthest, among the hardest survivors. Learn from these streets, it can be bleak. Accept no defeat, surrender, retreat.
So we struggling,
fighting to eat.
And we wondering,
when we'll be free. So we patiently wait for that fateful day. It's not far away, but for now we say,
when I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag. And then it goes back, and then it goes back, and then it goes back. Oh.
So many wars, settling scores.
fateful day. It's not far away, but for now we say, when I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag. And then it goes back, and then it goes back, and then it goes back, and then it goes. When I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag. And then it goes back, and then it goes back, and then it goes back.
Spokes are made one.